You are now listening to Conversations with Congressman King. Discussion on issues that impact your life with your representative from Iowa's 5th District.
Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King. This is Steve King, and today we're here with Greta Irwin. Greta, who is the Executive Director and Home Economist of the Iowa Turkey Federation and the Iowa Turkey Marketing Council. We're going to have a little real-time acoustics going on today because, Greta, you're at Atlanta right now teaching and learning more and more about the poultry industry. And I know that you've had a real big presence growing up here in Iowa, and I appreciate the involvement that you brought into the livestock industry and your voice that you've added to the commodities groups. Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King, Greta Irwin.
Well, it's very exciting to be here tonight. I appreciate that.
You know, I have. I've watched the way that you've engaged in this, and I really appreciate you being with us now. And I don't remember in years past that there's been near as strong a voice for the poultry industry, and particularly the turkey industry, than there has been in just the last few years. And I think that has a lot to do with the job you do, Greta.
An exciting time in our industry as we're seeing the fluctuation in grain prices across the United States. I see more and more strength in our turkey industry here in the state of Iowa. We've got three great plants in Iowa, Sara Lee up there in Storm Lake specifically, and West Liberty Foods, and then Agriprocessors and Postal does a few turkeys too. But you know, West Liberty and Sara Lee Foods just do a great job of producing the turkey products that our consumers want to enjoy, that healthy, lean, convenient products that are now available in turkey. It's not like it was 50 years ago, and Iowa's really stepped up and been a leader in helping consumers to get those products.
And Greta, you know, you're talking to somebody that actually remembers something that happened 50 years ago, and I remember how we raised turkeys back in those days, and you had a lot of individual producers out there that were trying to feed a family of 5 or 6 or 10 or even 15 on a 80 or 160 acres, so a lot of them went out and got a lot of turkeys, and some of them made a lot of money, and some of them lost a lot of money. It seemed to have been a lot more volatile back in those years.
Well, and with the contract situations that we have, it helps create that stability for those producers because they are making an investment and a commitment to raising turkeys, and I think that's shown. We've got a lot of third-generation farmers now joining this industry that are coming back and helping take over Grandpa's farm or Dad's farm, and specifically in Northwest Iowa, we're seeing a lot of new farmers come into the business, which is very exciting that a grain operation can say, gee, our son wants to come back and farm. This is a great way not only to raise turkeys and have additional income, you have that additional benefit of having the manure that you can then apply to the grain that you're producing. And we've all know what fertilizer prices have done. So the turkey manure is a huge value to these producers to help raise those crops that we need to support the ethanol industry and the biofuels industry and to raise the turkeys to be processed here in our state.
You know, and something that we've been working at for a long time, and I have to confess to this, Greta, and that is trying to raise commodity prices, and that's that includes feed grain prices, of course. And now that they've gotten up there to where we can see that we have done that job pretty well, and that may be an understatement to some people who are paying that high feed price today, but we need to grow the livestock industry right alongside it, and we grow the ethanol industry and the biodiesel industry, and at the same time the livestock industry. And if we can do all of that, for a long time it's been about keeping that dollar close to home, add to the dollars per acre that we're producing, and that's value-added agriculture. That comes in all kinds of ways, and particularly in your business, it comes in the form of the turkeys.
It sure does, and as I said, it's not only the meat that we're selling to the plants, it's that fertilizer value. So it's an exciting time, and we're working with Iowa State right now on some of the economic impact that the turkey industry has in Iowa and comparing that to some of the other states. And so I think we'll see that Iowa does have a big benefit because we don't have rail prices on top of these grain prices, that Iowa's a good place to be raising turkeys.
It is because, relatively speaking, our feed grain prices are more competitive. And, you know, you talked about the turkey manure, too, and I know that when I travel around the rural roads in Iowa, I'll see a large pile of turkey manure there that they maybe farm around for a year and then use it the second year. That's a pretty valuable commodity if you'll pile it on a section of the field and not get a crop off of that piece of the field just so you can add it to the ground the next year and get a full crop the next year. I think that's a pretty good advertisement.
It is, and with our manure management plans and classes that our producers have to go through, we feel we're doing a very responsible job, and it's a valuable commodity. No one wants to waste the product or handle it in a manner where they're not going to get the maximum value out of that product. And so a lot of the manure is applied on a four-year crop rotation. It's not applied every year to those fields, and you're adding a lot of great organic humus and matter to those soils, not only the nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium, but some good humus to help build up that soil and help it retain the moisture and those nutrients as well.
Well, then, Greta, is it going to be fair for me to say that they're hoarding the turkey manure on their farms?
Well, you know, a lot of producers are really using that on their farms, and their neighbors are usually pretty anxious if they can get their hands on buying some of it from the producers, too.
You can see that. You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and we're here with Greta Irwin, who is Executive Director of the Iowa Turkey Federation, among other duties that, Greta, you take on. I would point out that I just looked at some numbers here, and we started the turkey production in Iowa sometime back in the 30s. By 1961, we had peaked out with about 9 million turkeys raised in Iowa. And then those numbers dropped off quite a bit and came back now to where we're at about 8 million turkeys commercially raised in Iowa. So do you think that we will reach a new high sometime in the next few years and beat that 9 million record from 61?
Well, we're still seeing both Sara Lee and West Liberty adding some more farms and some more production here within the state of Iowa. And so I think we'll definitely be heading back up towards that 9 million. We're, like you said, over 8 million already. And so we're getting, you know, right up there, getting closer to that 9 million number.
So now I have to ask you a question on the other side of this for the turkeys. I happen to have noticed this from the time I was a little boy. Turkey was always on the table for the holidays, especially, and Thanksgiving, if we just talk about that. And so a great big turkey, we'd always buy the biggest one we could find because we had a lot of mouths to feed, and we would pick the bones of that turkey right down to nothing. But then you know, those old men, of which now I may be one, we'd go off over into the other room and sit down, and we'd just all go to sleep right away. What was the cause of that, Greta?
I think it was that wonderful big meal that you had with all that wonderful mashed potatoes and that homemade bread and all that starch that you were enjoying, as well as probably that warmth of the house. And you actually had a chance to sit down and relax because you were a busy farm boy. And most farmers I know, when they get a chance to sit down and relax, which isn't very often, they tend to get a little tired.
I thought you might just tell me it was tryptophan.
No, it's not tryptophan. You would have to eat a lot of turkey to get enough of that to have any sort of effect on you.
Well, we did, though. We ate a lot of turkey. And yeah, just to explain to the listeners, tryptophan is I don't know if you call it a drug, that causes a person to be lethargic. And there is a little bit of element in that in turkey, but I think the full stomach is a better explanation. And I also want to point announce to you that I am this fellow who has gone around and I have a roaster that I made some years ago, I don't know, 25 years ago or more. So I've gone around and roasted meat for different feeds of all kinds, whatever kind of get-together. And every year we would have a big roast at my place. And so we'd throw on a hog, and then we'd put as many as 9 turkeys inside there, a couple halves of a hog, and then wrap those turkeys with the hog and wrap a chain-link fence around it, tighten it up, and put it on the spit. And one thing that I noticed was, as good as the pork was, the thing that was always gone was the turkey.
And it's such a treat that, you know, I think people enjoy it when they get to have it. And my job is to help consumers to realize you can have that more than just Thanksgiving anymore. And so the cookbook that we put out, which we have one of your recipes in there, Congressman, is something that we have available. And we are giving that cookbook out free if people log on to our website, which is iowaturkey.org. There's lots of great recipes in that cookbook to help people understand that there's a lot of ways to cook that turkey and to enjoy it, not just on special occasions.
And it's always good, and it's almost always juicy. But you know, I notice also that the turkey meat doesn't have really much fat in it. It's so from a health standpoint too, it's very good that way.
Yep, and you're seeing so many new products come out that are helping people who are trying to watch their weight and their cholesterol, that a lot of that has roots right here in Iowa, whether it was the DeWitts and their work that they did when they were in Storm Lake, to Sara Lee currently with their product development in West Liberty. Lots of great new products, and a lot of those things have originated from Iowa. So we have a lot in Iowa to be proud of this turkey industry and that history.
We do a lot of things about food that's right. As the more I travel, the more I appreciate the quality of the diet that we have and the way we lead in quality of food in a lot of different ways. The turkey industry, maybe I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, Greta, about the avian bird flu issue. I mean, I know that it's been detected in India and some other places. What does that mean to the poultry industry in the United States? And I presume that's the subject you're talking about while you're down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a topic that the industry continues to talk about and work with, but we have an emergency plan for the state of Iowa that we work with our state veterinarian and the federal veterinarian, so we know exactly what's going to happen if it was ever a high pass diagnosis within the state of Iowa. Every flock that we process in the state is tested so that we know that that is not out there, and I feel like we've got a really, really good plan in place to ensure consumers that it is not a concern that they need to have, and the farmers are watching for it, and they're in their barns every day caring for those turkeys. So it's an issue that we're always watching on. We're very vigilant and keeping up to date and talking about it within the whole egg industry and the turkey industry and the broiler industry. And I feel very confident that we're prepared for anything if it would ever occur.
Were the people that were calling and predicting that their bird flu was bound to come to the United States, were they Chicken Littles, Greta?
I think it's always good to err on the side of caution, and it helped us to become a little bit more prepared. If this would ever happen, I think we're ready to handle that.
And I think that you do, and I've watched the industry step up to this and really take a responsible stance on it. Also, I'm watching as some negotiations have taken place between the United States and Russia on the poultry trade. What can you tell us there? And you're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and we're here with Greta Irwin, who is the executive director of the Iowa Turkey Federation.
Well, Russia is an important trading partner for us, and specifically, we need trade with Russia and Mexico and China and those countries because their consumers want dark meat products. So they're more interested in the thighs and the legs, where most of our American consumers are more interested in the white meat and the breast meat products.
In
order for us to make a successful package of selling our products, we need to have those partnerships with those countries that allows us to sell our products and keep everything more price competitive.
Who gets the rudder, Greta?
I'm not sure. I'll have to ask somebody on that one.
It was always my dad. But I don't know which country it goes to. I think that's on the dark meat side. Trade's really important. And then another subject matter that I'd like to ask you about, it goes as far as you'd like on this, Greta, is what does the animal rights debate that you and I have talked about significantly, and you've seen it come through here in Congress, you've seen the effort this globally, can you tie this thing together? I mean, the Humane Society wanted to confer statutory personhood on a chimpanzee in Austria. They moved legislation out of committee in California and the state senate in California that would give a domestic pet a restraining order against its owner. Where does this end, and how does this impact the turkey industry?
Well, it's something that we always are watching and being aware of what's being said, but I didn't grow up in this industry. I've come into the industry. I've seen what they do firsthand, and I have such pride in what this industry does to help ensure the care and well-being and safety of their turkeys that it kind of hurts my heart to see all these family farmers out there working so hard to make a living and to provide a safe and healthy product for consumers here in the United States and around the world that sometimes those attacks hurt because I know who they're hurting, and those are those family farmers. So we'll continue to look at that information, but we continue to fund research here in Iowa through our checkoff board, work with our National Turkey Federation, and to look at those issues on a continual basis to help ensure that those birds stay safe and healthy for our consumers to enjoy.
One more question, Greta. Did you ever meet a vegetarian that wore a cowboy hat?
I don't think I have.
And I know I asked the question once, did you ever meet a Marine that was a vegetarian? And they said, yes, one, but it was for medical reasons.
And sure.
So we'll continue with these issues, and I appreciate being in this with you, Greta, and the way that you've raised the profile of the turkey industry. And anytime anybody wonders about whether we should support turkeys or not, just remember, turkeys eat corn.
Yes, they do, and they sure contribute to our Iowa economy and help keep some of those young farmers on the farms here in Iowa and help keep the whole economy running in some of our smaller rural areas.
Thanks to Greta Irwin, the Executive Director of the Iowa Turkey Federation. Thanks for being with us on Conversations with Congressman King.
Please join us next time on Conversations with Congressman King. For more information on any of the topics mentioned today, visit the website at house.gov/Steve King.